Praise the Lord, church. It's wonderful to be in His house this morning. It's wonderful to be in His house with a praise upon our lips and thanksgiving in our hearts. It's so wonderful to be able to come in and no matter what report the doctor would have been given this week, to just stand before you and be able to worship with you and say, no matter what the report, our God is good and He is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's just something about it when, as God's people, we get together and worship Him in unity and worship Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight about that a little bit more. If you're part of this Calvary Church family, I don't say this kind of stuff, but if you're part of this church family, God talked to me for you. And I have a message tonight. I'd really like for you to make sure you're back for this evening service and partake of what the Lord has for this church body tonight. And I just want to say before we turn to the word of the Lord, what an honor it is to be here. It's a real privilege. And I say that because I feel like I'm standing in front of family. That although we have been halfway around the world for most of the time, we've been connected with the Starks and with Calvary. I just feel a connection that goes far beyond what natural words can describe. It's a connection in the Spirit. That's even beyond the affinity that we have as brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's a kinship among those who allow God's Spirit to move in their life and try with their best ability, though sometimes frailly, to follow after what God is speaking to us. And I have that feeling of family with you this morning that I know as I'm standing here in God's presence, I'm standing before people who love me, who have been praying for me. And there is such a comfort and a humility that comes from that. From the depths of my heart and on behalf of my whole family who's not able to be here because of other situations going on. Let me just first say, I love you and thank you, Calvary, for being the church. If you're a guest, I just want to tag on to that and say to you, just as I'm a guest here, you'll find that this is a place you can call home as well. There are people in this church who are doing their best to live this Word of God out in the reality of today's world. And if it's your desire to see God and to know Him, you're in the right place. Amen. You're home today. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to turn with me this morning to the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. In this chapter, the Word of God just tells us this amazing story. It's about a woman who's found herself befallen in incredible pain. Her husband has died, and she's left with nothing. Beyond her personal need, drought and famine have spread through her land, and supplies and outlooks have grown pretty grim. She has nothing left to sustain her or her son. Yet, it was to this woman, in the midst of her circumstance, that God would send the prophet Elijah. And God told His mighty man to find this woman. But notice this. Not that He would sustain her, but that she would sustain Him. In the midst of her trouble, in the midst of her drought, when there is no answer and there is no hope, the man of God comes with an appointment from God saying, you are to sustain me. And when their paths cross, the prophet calls out to this destitute woman and says, "Give me bread to eat." Her response reveals the gravity of her situation. Reading from verse number 12, 1 Kings 17. And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal and a barrel and a little oil and a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not." That's a message right there, isn't it? "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The help of the Lord today, he's put on my mind and in my heart to just deliver this simple message to you. The end of emptiness. As I stand before you, I've got two promises for you. One is from the flesh, and it'll speak to the flesh, and that's that if you stay around and connect after service and enjoy this international buffet that I've been smelling, I promise you, flesh to flesh, you will experience an end to emptiness. But the second promise is from God, and it's spirit to spirit now. I'd like to promise you that if you'll engage over the next few moments, you can experience an end to the emptiness in your soul and in your spirit, and you will feast upon the things of God in a way that you will never hunger or thirst again. Would you just worship the Lord with me as a sign of thanksgiving, and let's agree together for that right now. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. There have been many seasons in life where I've felt a similar situation to what this lady seems to have been going through. That when I step back and survey the extent of my ability, I could see the end of what was possible. There have been many times, as Pastor even mentioned, through the difficulties of what God has called us into, that when I have considered the state of my affairs, the results would come back to me totally conclusive. You are at a breaking point. You're at the end of what is possible in of yourself. Emptiness is at hand. While this woman knew the pain of literal emptiness, as she realized that all that she had left in her house was just that little bit of flour and just a little bit of oil, it was not the emptiness of her home that would move the hand of God upon this day. When she told Elijah that "I am going to make my son and I some bread, and then we will eat, and then we will die," that was the moment that God would step into her situation. For God, from the very beginning of time, has made it His business to come into empty situations. The first thing we read about in the Scriptures, in the opening lines of your Bible, is that in the beginning, the world was empty, it was void. But God was not satisfied with emptiness. From the first creative act on throughout history, God has always made Himself available to fill the emptiness of existence. And in the life of this woman, we can plainly see that she's come to her place of physical emptiness. But perhaps we can more readily relate to the fact that she was at a place of spiritual emptiness. When she said, "We will eat and die," what she was really saying was, "I have no more answers. I have exhausted my resources. I have come to the end of what I can do. Not just an end of food, but I have come to an end of hope." The lack of food, the lack of rain, the pain of losing her husband, the pain of watching her son die of slow starvation, the disappointment of life have all brought her to a place of emptiness. It's the understanding that in spite of our best efforts, in spite of doing that all we know how to do, in spite of living the best way we know how to live, sometimes life finds a way to turn our effort into disappointment. And we find ourselves living in a similar scenario to this precious woman, living in a place of emptiness. We might not express it with that terminology, but emptiness manifests itself in our lives in various ways. It's an end of our joy. To some, your emptiness has manifested itself in a loss of your peace. And anxiety and fear have taken over your every thought. That's an emptiness. To others, you've come to that place where your faith is on the line, and you've even walked into the house of God saying, "If I don't get an answer today, I'm not sure what I'm going to do because I am at a place of emptiness." To this poor widow woman and to the many others, the emptiness of life was experienced through a loss of hope. It's in that context, the context of emptiness, that God steps in and does the miraculous. As a woman begins to make some bread for her uninvited guest, she dips her hand into that jar of flour. She pours a little oil from that cruse and begins to make the meager meal for this man that God has sent to her. But something's happened. She noticed, this should have been my emptiness. I only had a little bit left, but I used what little I had in obedience to the word of God. And look, there seems to be a little bit left. It seems like there might just be enough oil in that bottle that I could make one more piece of bread. So she repeats the process and begins to take that flour and she begins to take that oil. And Brother Sism, she was probably making paratha, I guess, flour and oil. And she began to make that second cake. Thinking probably in her mind, well, I guess I just misjudged. That jar must be a little bit bigger than I thought it was, and what I thought was the last little bit of flour on the bottom must have just been covering a little bit more flour. And she begins to make that next cake, thanking God that I gave what I thought was my last, but I'll still get to enjoy my last meal too. There's just a little left. And as she makes that second cake, she looks back into the jar with amazement as she looks and sees there's still a little bit of flour. And she checks that bottle and realizes there's still a little bit of oil. And I think then she begins to make another cake. Being a good mom, that second cake probably went to her boy. So now she goes back and says, I might as well have a bite to eat too. And she begins to slap that flour and oil together, making that flat cake to eat of. And she begins to make food and makes food until all have been fed and are satisfied. And she is amazed that still, after my need has been met, still there's just a little bit of flour in the pot and still just a little bit of oil left in the vessel. And that's great, but that's not the end of the story. In fact, it's not even the point of the miracle. Because the next day she awoke, probably with this thought on her mind that that was a strange phenomenon that happened yesterday. But today, I've got a boy and this man that God sent to me that I got to feed, and all I've got left is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. What are we going to do today? Yesterday was good. It was sustaining. But what are we going to do today? You see, she'd been empty so long. That one miracle in a moment of need wasn't going to transform everything. This wasn't about sustaining her life. Hear me. If the point of this miracle was to give her sustained life, God could have sent His man into that place and prayed a prayer of faith, and it could have rained flour from heaven, and the rivers could have been changed into oil, and God could have sent provision for a million lifetimes with just one creative word from heaven. But it wasn't just about sustaining life. The real miracle here was that God was not satisfied to give this woman fulfillment in her stomach, but leave her with an empty soul. Every day as that widow would reach into that pot and find a little bit of flour, and every day as she would tip that cruse of oil and find just a little bit of oil, she began to understand that there would always be a little something for her from God. There would always be something there when she relied on the Lord. And that was the real purpose of the miracle. She wasn't just receiving an end to the emptiness of her cupboards. She was receiving an end to the emptiness of her soul. For where hopelessness once rested, every day with the looking in of that jar, hope began rushing into her situation, and God was filling an empty soul. You might just have a little bit of strength, but with God, little is much. You may feel like you're losing your mind, but God's presence can come in beside you and assure you that you don't have to accept emptiness as your end. You may be down to that last scrap of hope, but when that hope is placed in Jesus Christ, you'll never have to feel the pangs of emptiness again. Jesus is the end of emptiness in our lives. Come on now, if you have experience that you know that Jesus brings an emptiness, let's praise God with a thanksgiving for a moment. There are people here today who are living in a place of emptiness, and they need to know that God does bring an end to emptiness. Let's just worship Him for a moment. I thank God that we have Him in the midst of our trial. Because while some would try to convince us that being a Christian is an end of trouble, that's just not true. But there's a difference in our trial. Because when we face it with Jesus, we don't have to face the emptiness that our trial would try to bring to us. We have Him in fullness within us. That's why Paul was able to write from an underground prison cell, living, not figuratively, literally living in a hole in the ground, separated from his friends, dropped down into a prison on a rope so that there was no chance of his possible escape from Rome. And from that condition, he was able to write to the church in Philippi, I have all. And I do abound. I am full. You see, it was not the provisions or the fineries of life that brought fullness to the life of Paul. It was a relationship with Jesus Christ that brought an end to the emptiness in his spirit. It's that fullness in Christ that comes from the understanding given to us by Peter when he said, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the emptiness of life. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, that sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Jesus shed His blood and laid down His life so that we could experience an end to the emptiness of life. I've had lots of people over the last 7-8 years ask me, how in the world are you able to live and work in that nation of Pakistan in the conditions that you face every day? It's a land of hatred and a land of darkness. It is a land of hopelessness. In the streets, and Pastor can verify, people do not laugh. They do not smile. There is zero public expression of joy. Even at weddings, an occasion where to us we are so thankful and celebratory, they go into weddings with dour faces and tears in their eyes, because even at those moments in life there is just no joy. How could we live there? How could we work in those conditions? Because Jesus has brought an emptiness, end to the emptiness in my life. And we're able to go and make a positive impact and even thrive at times in the worst of conditions, because on Mission Sunday, I want to declare to you that there is hope for every hopeless nation. And His name is Jesus. And this is the good news, that even in the worst of conditions and the worst of circumstances, Jesus puts joy in the hearts of those who know Him. He brings an end to the emptiness of our lives because He laid down His life, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but would have everlasting life. Yes. That's why I was able to stand at the bedside of a young girl who, in the midst of a sudden sandstorm, had a wall come crashing down from two stories above and land on her. A brick wall fell right off of a building. Almost killed her. But at her bedside, the mourners were in the entryway to the house, weeping and wailing because the doctor had given the preliminary report that while this young girl has lived, the baby that she carries has died from the injuries of the fallen wall. And it's with the understanding that Jesus gives life. He brings an emptiness. That we're able to walk into a situation where I have never ever felt in my life such a spirit of despair. Such a spirit of emptiness. Racism, you know very well when those Indian and Pakistani people gather and begin to mourn in the households, there is a cry that goes out that pierces your very soul with the grief that they're feeling. But I didn't walk into that place alone. I didn't walk into that place to wrap my arm around somebody and say, it'll be okay. You can't do that. These were people living in a moment of complete emptiness. As I reached over to lay hands on that girl, the Spirit of the Lord just came upon me in boldness. And I began to pray life. Not peace. That was my initial reaction. Let's go pray some peace into the midst of this darkness. But peace is not the answer to emptiness. Life is the answer. Life is what brings an end to emptiness in the spirit. And it's life that comes through Jesus Christ. And so I laid hands on her, being all full of intention to be the good pastoral figure and praying for the family. And then the Holy Ghost just took over and I began to pray in tongues and I began to declare into the spirit life into a dead situation. And everybody in the room was just looking at me with strangeness, wondering what this white guy was doing in the midst of their morning service. They didn't understand a word I was saying and certainly couldn't understand why I was shouting and dancing around a room full of mourners. But the next day as we went back, the attitude changed in that place. Just as I walked into the very village, the news began to spread throughout every home. The baby is alive. The baby is alive. Jesus has given life to that which was dead. Hallelujah. Sharrararoso. Yes, yes. And I'm able to proclaim an end of emptiness because this is not just a story. This is my story. I have and will continue to stand in front of crowds of needy people and confidently declare to them that Jesus is the answer for every situation. I've seen God in the 7 years we were in Pakistan fill over 10,000 people with His Spirit, and we've prayed for multiple tens of thousands of people who've received instant miracles of healing and blessings. We've seen God do so many things that I feel like John sometimes that said, if we began to write all the things that Jesus has said and done, the whole world could not contain the books thereof. God has been so good to us. But of all the stories and of all the miracles I have seen and experienced, there is one that bears significant importance to me. And that's the one that allows me to stand in front of you today and tell you with an assurance that Jesus will bring an end to the emptiness in your life. Not because I've seen Him do it for others, but because I experienced the end of the emptiness that was in my life. I've only been a Christian for the last less than 15 years. Before that, I was what we could politely, politically say, far from God. I was at a university, Canada, drinking my life away. Wasted an entire semester of tuition fees and alcohol. Flunking out of every class that I took because I couldn't attend class because I would wake up after the sun would go down at night and I would stay awake until the sun would come up in the morning and then sleep all day in fear of having to face another human being. I just felt such a complete emptiness and aloneness in my spirit that I couldn't even bear to look at another person in the face. I just drank my troubles away, which led to more troubles. Emptiness begets emptiness, begets emptiness, begets emptiness. Until you're at a point where, like this precious lady in the scripture, you just throw your hands up and say, I'm done. I don't even know where to go or what to do. And in the midst of a gothic lifestyle, with hair down to my knees and all the crazy makeup and everything, I hid myself away from reality and felt so empty inside. One day, I got a phone call in my dorm room. It's from a girl in the States. It's been long enough ago, I don't even remember exactly where she was calling from. But she called and said, I just found this number on a website. And I wanted to call somebody and tell my story before I killed myself tonight. And thought I'd call you because you're far enough away, there's nothing you can do about it. I just want to tell the story. And she began to unburden her emptiness over the phone. Told a terrible story of the abuse of loved ones and terrible situations that disgust me to even think about the possibility that another human could do these things. And as she talked to me on the phone, me, living an empty life, hiding from human contact because of how bad I felt, I began to talk to her and speak hope into her life and began to tell her, you have a reason for living. Don't let your circumstance lie to you and tell you you have no purpose. By the time I hung up that phone, she had agreed to go and seek counseling. I had connected her with a home where she could go and seek the help that she needed. I have no way of knowing if she followed through, but I felt a hope for her when I hung up that phone. And as soon as I did, I fell down beside my bed in that dorm room. And I began to weep. And I'll never forget it. Not raised as a Christian, I have no experience in this, but this overwhelming understanding that I was wasting my life and yet could speak hope into somebody else was so hypocritical. But I knew that, like her, I'd come to a place where I had no more answers for myself. And so I just cried and I knelt over that bed. And this, I can tell you the exact words. I said, Jesus, I don't even know if you're real, but right now I need you to be real. And I began to release to this Jesus I'd never heard of and never had a relationship with. I began to pour out to him my emptiness. Night after night in tears, in a dorm room all by myself where nobody knew, I would pour out my emptiness to this Jesus that I knew nothing about. But what I discovered in those early days of this relationship was that when he comes in, emptiness goes out. That's why John wrote the words of Jesus that said, anyone who is thirsty can come unto me. For the scriptures do declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart, or out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And John clarifies that this living water that Jesus spoke of was the Holy Ghost. He further noted in John chapter 4 what Jesus said, those who would drink of this water will never, never, never be thirsty again. Can I paraphrase the words of Jesus? When you drink and experience His Spirit, there is an end to emptiness. We have divine opportunity this very moment, for an end to emptiness is available to us all right now. For Jesus is in the midst of His people. And when the fullness of Christ, when the Spirit of God is in us, then we have an end to the emptiness. For we cannot experience emptiness and experience the fullness of Christ at the same time. They're contradictory to each other. And the fullness of Christ that comes when we receive His Spirit brings an end to all the emptiness that we experience through life. So if there's anyone here like this precious woman and like I was in that dorm room that night, who's tired of living an empty life, tired of the fear, you're tired of the sickness, you're tired of the anxiety, the stress, and the hopelessness, you're tired of walking into a room just like this with your face advertising one story and your heart living another, if you've come today so full of pain and desperation that you've just said in your spirit, I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't know. I've prayed. I've sought God. I don't even know what I'm going to do anymore. And hopelessness has just crept in like it has to this woman's situation. That's you. It'll be hard to admit to yourself, but you already know, as I've been talking, you already know that's me. The next barrier is understanding that God already knows that it's you. And it's why He's here right now. For you. To bring an end to your emptiness. The last barrier to keep us back from receiving that fullness is that in our pride, we don't want other people to know, hey, that's me. I've been living it empty. But can I tell you, the reason the woman in the scripture was able to receive her miracle was first that she was willing to admit, I'm at an end. She didn't tell the man of God, sure, I'll go get you a cake and then go off on her own and try to figure out what to do next. She just was so desperate. She said, you know what? I don't even care. Man of God, here's my story. I'm at a place of emptiness. We're going to eat. And if God doesn't come through, we're going to die. And when she was willing to step past that barrier of what will he think if I go forward and receive what God might have for me, it was at that moment that God was able to pour out. And I ask you to stand with me all over this place right now. And because of that very thing, and for the benefit of our guests, and even for those who call this church home that are feeling a tug in their spirit to come and receive an end to emptiness this morning, I'd like to make it simple. And I'm going to open the altars now, and I'm going to ask everyone who's feeling empty now, or who has felt empty and knows that Jesus is the answer, in a sign of solidarity and unity, I'm going to ask you all right now to just come to the altar. Before you begin to pray, I'm going to lead us in one united prayer, and then turn the last moments of this service back to Pastor Stark. As a last step before God pours out His fullness over this congregation, we're going to make ourselves ready to receive. We're going to prepare our vessel to receive His fullness. And we simply do that by repenting. It's a military term which just means we turn around from one way and we declare we're going to start walking in another way. And so I want everyone at this altar to pray with me right now and pray in this vein. God, I'm turning my back on my emptiness, and I'm going to walk after you. Would you pray with me right now?
Make it without you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.